Welcome, welcome, welcome to Relationship Wednesday. This is Apostle Van Zandt on tonight. I'm excited about Wednesdays, Relationship Wednesday. My topic tonight is relationship doesn't have to be hard. That's the topic of my show on Relationship Wednesday on tonight. Relationship doesn't have to be hard. I know that sounds like, you know, a little tough to swallow or hear, but relationship doesn't have to be hard as it is. I am going to be coming out of my book. I've wrote a new book. I don't know what number book this is, but I have written several books, and I'm going to be reading and coming out of my book called Relationship Menu. Relationship Menu. I'm excited about this book. It's a new release. And if you want to order it, you love what you heard tonight, then you can inbox me on the Facebook. You can email me at apostolicflameprophetic@gmail.com, and you can inbox me that way. So it's a way that you can reach me if you desire to purchase this book. So, but we're going to go right into, before I get started in the book, you know, I like to start off with some music. I love music. So I'm going to just play a little something just maybe about 2 minutes, just to give the other callers time enough to call in. So bear with me. Enjoy this sound. We'll be right back. Thank you. You didn't bring me this far to leave. My. I love music. Oh, my goodness. That was two men just playing that in a musical sense. I just enjoyed it. It had a little jazz attached to it. So I was loving that. Just wanted to give you just that little bit of, just a little bit of entertainment, but that was some good entertainment, just giving the other callers time enough to call in. But those that miss it or come in calling a little late, you can go back and hear the recording on the Facebook, or I can even send you the link to it. So either way go, I can email the link to it if you desire. Just let me know if you're on the Facebook and just inbox me and ask me, and I will send you the link to it. But tonight, this is Relationship Wednesday, and I am excited about it. I'm going to see how this is going to turn out. Perhaps next Wednesday. I know this is a Thanksgiving Wednesday. I really didn't ponder over it too much. I do realize that there are many of you that are out on the road and you're going to be with family because of the holiday, but nevertheless, we're going to go on anyway and just do what we are called to do, and that's to share powerful information to impact your life that you may be healed and delivered and set free. So tonight, welcome once again to Relationship Wednesday. And my topic tonight is relationship doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be hard. And so if God is in the middle, if God is in the middle, I know some say, well, I have God in my life, but just hold on. We're going to help you a little bit out tonight. We know relationship can be a little challenging when it comes between a man and a woman, but it doesn't have to be that hard. And so we're going to start off with a scripture. We're going to start off with Ephesians 5:21. It's always good to go back in the Word of God and see what the Lord is saying concerning relationship and apply it to our lives, apply it to your situation. I believe that is the number one problem that many of us lack doing, is seeking scripture on what problems you have in relationship and applying the scripture to it. So we're going to start off with a very simple verse. It's Ephesians 5:21, and it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wow, that's it. That's all I'm going to read for now. It says, submitting yourself to one another in the fear of the Lord. You know, we have to read the word and really get the essence of what it is saying to us. We just can't run over the word and skip over the word. We have to read it and digest it so we can perceive what God is saying. So Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another. Let's stop right there. That's instructions right there. The instructions are to submit yourself one to another. That's the first instructions that is given in Ephesians when it's concerning a husband and a wife. We're gonna give some nuggets for singles, and we're gonna give some nuggets for married. And this is out of my new book called Relationship Menu. So I'm just going to give you a few nuggets. I'm going to skip through some chapters and kind of skip over some things, because then you have to buy the book to read the book in its essence in order to glean from it and be healed and be delivered and be made whole and, all of that good stuff. So the word is telling us the first thing we have to do is submit ourselves one to another, okay? Then it says, after you submit yourself one to another, it says, do it, though, submit yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. Do it in the fear of the Lord. You're not doing it in the fear of that wife. You're not doing it in the fear of that husband, but you're doing it in the fear of the Lord. So you want to do that. Look, I have to put a pause right here. The Lord is just checking me that I did not pray. And so let me just put a pause on what I just said real quickly, and let me just put a prayer on this. Father, we thank you for every listener that's called in. We thank you for those that are continue to call in and will call in, and those that will listen to this broadcast after I've gone off the air, that they will glean and be blessed and receive understanding and new insight, and perhaps take what they have heard and apply it and walk in it, that the word and the wisdom will activate in their relationship, that they will become a better couple or for even for a single. So we ask that you bless each ear, bless each heart. In Jesus' name, we bind up everything that would attempt to come against this broadcast in the name of Jesus. And it is so in Jesus' name. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go back. Okay, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Submit means to yield to the authority or will of another person. I'm giving you the definition of submit. Submit means to yield to the authority or will of another person. You submit, yield, surrender to the will of each other. Okay, that makes it a little easier. Is that a little less painful, especially for women? You know, submitting to that man, and we know men have, you know, a man submitting to a woman. It, God fixed that right there. He says submit one to another. And so you're submitting to each other's will. You're yielding, if yield is a better word for you, or surrender. You're surrendering to each other's will in this particular passage of Scripture here. So let's just move along. I'm going to just give out some nuggets. Let's just talk about a relationship. We're talking about relationship, that it doesn't have to be hard. And I'm reading once again some nuggets and passages of script of chapters of my book concerning relationship. And the name of my book once again is Relationship Menu. Okay, here's another part out of my book. It says a relationship isn't always easy to build between two people. Okay, I guess a lot of you could probably say amen. It's not always easy to build between two people. Notice I use that word build. Relationship must be built between two people because you have two different individuals with different personalities. Sometimes that can be a little challenging. I don't want to use the word difficult, but I prefer to use the word challenging. It can be a little challenging because you have two different individuals with two different personalities, views, and ideas trying to blend together. So perception, I use the word perception. I taught that in my prophetic school, perception. So you have two individuals with two perceptions who see relationship differently. You know, most of the time women go into a relationship, you know, they get married and, you know, they already automatically thinking that that man is seeing it the way they're seeing it. No, 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 no. They see completely different. They're looking through a different window of perception, and that woman's looking through a whole nother window of perception, and she's thinking he's only looking out the same window she's looking out in, and he is not. And so that's sometimes where the difficulty or the blending or coming together, building that relationship, because you have two different perceptions and views, two different views. You know, a man has his view, she has her view. He has his idea of way how the house should be run, or she has hers, or how the bill should be taken care of, and even your ideas. So you're trying now, you're coming together, building together to become one. You're two building to become one. When you enter into a marriage relationship, you're two individuals, but then you begin to build to become one, one in mind, one in heart. Oh, my God, this is so good. Okay, so as you journey through this book, glean and learn how to become a better person and partner for life. So you're building to become a better partner. As you become a better person, you develop a better relationship. Oh, I'm going to say that part right there again. That's good. As you become a better person, you develop a better relationship. So when you are a better person in the relationship, then the relationship is good too. It would become good as well. So if you have a person in the relationship, if you have one good person and one bad person or one negative person, then you're going to have conflict in that relationship. You're definitely going to have conflict because you have two different mindsets. Sometimes our mindset clashes in a relationship because one person's mindset is another, and you're thinking they're thinking the same way you're thinking, and they're really not. So this is good right here. Oh, my goodness. I know I'm not going to have I just set this broadcast for just an hour. I have 44 more minutes. This is getting good. We'll be back next Wednesday, though. Here's another golden nugget in my book called Appetizer. It's called Appetizer. And I say here, learn to embrace. And I'm talking now here to the single, so I'm going to go back and forth a little bit for the married couple, a little bit for the single. And you kind of can glean a little bit from what I'm saying that applies to you. Okay, learn to embrace your singleness. This is for the single ladies or single man. Learn to embrace your singleness in the place of your singlehood and learn to empty out of who you've become as a single person from being stuck in your old ways of doing things. Woo, that's good right there. You got to learn to embrace the singleness, but as you become single, you develop your own single mind. You have your own single mind, and you develop a rut or a habit that's within your own single mind because nobody's in your circle. Nobody else is there in your life. So you have this created this world that's just you, yourself, and yourself. You know, me, myself, and I. And there's no one else there, so you don't have anybody else to think about but yourself. It's just you, yourself, and I. So, but you're going to have to learn if you're designed to be married and want to be married, then you have to get that single mind unstuck. You have to begin to ask God to unstick you from that mindset of singleness. Okay? I'm hoping I'm making that clear. So from being stuck in your old ways of doing things, that's a single-mindedness. We can't be selfish when we walk into a relationship with someone. You know, selfishness will strangle the relationship. If you have a man that's selfish, if you have a woman that's selfish, that will choke, suffocate. Let me use that word, suffocate. That will suffocate the relationship, you know, suffocate it. And you don't want your relationship to be suffocated. Okay, allow the Father to make you a new wineskin so that you can become flexible and pliable in order to receive your new wineskin husband. Now, this here is good for single and married. You know, even if you're married, you still can allow, allow God to make you flexible, pliable in order to receive that new wineskin with your current husband. And if you're single, the same rule applies. You're allowing God to make you flexible, pliable, you're bendable. You know, you're flexible in that. You're at a place of compromising in that area. You're not stuck in your old ways. Soul ties is a union of your will. Now, I'm talking about soul ties. So I'm kind of just flowing through some nuggets here. I'm just putting some things out here right now. A soul ties is a union of your will, emotion, and mind, connected to the good and bad of your past. This is why we must break soul ties of unforgiveness that's connected to people, places, and things. Now, this here is for perhaps a single person, you know, and it's for marriage. You can even use this for marriage because sometimes you can be married to a person and still struggling with soul ties where you are still connected to people or places or things. And then this also can apply to singles as well. So single people, let me say to single people first, that if you are designed to be married, you must allow God to cut all unclean strongholds, soul ties. Soul ties is a union of your will. It's a union of your emotion and your mind, and it connects to the good and the bad of your past. So That's pretty deep right there. So you have to kind of meditate on that and just allow God to reveal to you what you're connected to, you know, especially the bad stuff, you know, your will. What is your will tied to from your past? What is your will tied to in your emotions, in your mind from your past? Those are soul tied connections. And so this is why we must break the soul ties of unforgiveness. If there's any unforgiveness, whether you're married or you're single, you could be married and still hold unforgiveness or something from the past from someone in that marriage, and then that's going to cause the marriage to suffocate because your soul is not free to love that person that you're married to. So that's connected to people. That can be unforgiveness that's connected to people or you know, so you have to just ask God to really, really do a soul cleansing. I'm going to write a book eventually. I'm going to write a book on and do a workshop on a soul detox because we need a soul detox. You know, we need to cleanse our soul out. We need to flush our soul out because we have so many issues and so many things that's tied to our soul. We don't even realize it's still there until we get into worship in God's presence and he begins to reveal these things that are in our soul that we thought that we had let go. We thought we cut the soul tie too, but God knows. How many know that God knows the deepest recesses of our soul? He knows our heart. He knows the consciousness of our mind. He knows the deep secret parts of us, and he knows just how to get us delivered from soul ties, from past soul ties. He knows how to do that, and I'm so glad that he knows how to do that because I want to be made whole in every way, in every shape, form, and fashion. I want to be made whole. My goodness, my goodness. Let me move along. Okay, here are some other nuggets. I'm just going through my book, just pulling certain little things out in the book because I just want to whet your appetite enough so you can buy the book and then go ahead and read the book in its entirety and to glean from it and to grow from it and to learn from it, to be healed from it and to get delivered from it. It's going to do all those things in your life. Let's see. Let's talk about relationship a little bit. Here's a little key. For those, now I do have some parts in the book too talks about being engaged. So now if there are any of you that are listening to this broadcast on tonight and if you are engaged, here I have this little section here. It says, for those of you who are engaged and about to become married, please get counseling. You know, counseling to some people it sounds like a bad word. But counseling is not a bad word. It is valid. It is necessary. It is important for you to receive counsel. Please get counseling. There is no such thing that you don't need counseling just because your heart is beating 95 miles a minute for him or her. You still need counseling. You may say, I've been married before, and I know how it works, and I don't need counseling. Well, if this is the case, why are you getting married? Because if you know what to do, if you know everything to do, you would not be getting married again. So it's evident that you missed something before or you did something before. So now I'm telling you, you still need counseling. Just because you have some know-how and a little wisdom doesn't mean you know how it works with a new man or a new woman. Every new relationship is different, and every man and woman are different, and you need to understand how to dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, there's a scripture. I didn't write it in my book. I should have, but I didn't. The scripture talks about in Peter, for a man, it talks about a man dwelling with his wife according to knowledge. Well, I took that scripture and I apply this for both because you both have, not only the man have to dwell with his wife according to knowledge, and I believe why Peter said that for a man to dwell with his wife according to knowledge because women are complex. I believe that's why it was more applied for the man to dwell with her according to knowledge rather than the woman dwelling with him according to knowledge. Women are complex. We're complex. And so a man needs to understand a woman. He has to have the knowledge. He needs the knowledge of understanding her complexity. Woo, that's good right there. So, but in this case, if you are engaged, even if you're married, still dwell with each other according to knowledge. Have knowledge of who you are getting ready to marry. Have knowledge of them and know what it takes to make them tick and what ticks them off. You got to know what makes them tick, and you got to know what ticks them off. These are valid keys. It may seem simple, but they're valid keys to have in you. Even if you're married, you can still take these nuggets and apply them to your marriage. Know what ticks them off and know what turns them on. So you really want to know what turns them on rather than doing something that ticks them off. So it's dwelling with them according to knowledge. You can't base your experience from the old relationship and apply it to the new one. You need to learn all over again with a new love. So if you were a new person and you were married before and you're no longer married to that old person, I don't mean old in age, but that old woman or man, as far as that past person, and you're in a new relationship with a new man and a woman, you're married, then you have to learn them and who they are in their personality. You know, we all have different personalities, so you can't compare the two. That's where you'll mess up if you do that. You can't compare the two. You have to know who that person is that you're with now because they have a different idea. They may think different. They have different tastes and different likes. So you want to have that knowledge of them. So this is yet good for a married. Even if you're still married, you can take these tools and apply it, but it's more for the single. Get counseling. Get counseling. Counseling will open your eyes to see things that you didn't see. Because when you are in love and say you're in love and your heart's beating 95 miles a minute, you don't see what you really need to see at that very moment. You don't see it. All you see is you know, your heart is beating, and every time you look at her and look at him, you know, you just light up like a Christmas tree, like Christmas tree lights, but you don't really see what you need to see. Get counseling. Counseling will expose what you need to see in each other. And that don't mean that it has to be a detrimental thing, but counseling will unfold some things that you need to see in each other and talk about it, work it out, and if it's workable, if you can compromise and continue on to be married, then wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But sometimes counseling will reveal things that you need to see in that person to run from. You need to run from it because sometimes people will hide stuff. They will hide things about themselves because they don't want you to see it because they know if you see it, you're not going to marry them. So you need to see that thing. You need to see what that is. Oh, my God, you need to buy this book. You need to buy this book because I can't tell you everything that's in it, but I can give you some little nuggets in it. And relationship doesn't have to be hard. Let me just throw this in here. Relationship doesn't have to be hard if both of you are on the same page. Wow, that sounds simple, but that's powerful all at the same time. Both of you. If you're on the same page, relationship does not have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be hard. It is a challenge because you have two different people, but it doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be hard. But if you're on the same page, you have to be on the same page. You have to be walking to the same beat. You have to be dancing, if you will, to the same beat. My God, if he's dancing to one beat and you're dancing to another beat and you're on another page and he's on another page and your thought and your views and your ideas, then you're going to have some difficult times. It's going to be rough. It's going to be hard because you're on different pages, your views, your ideas, what you think, you're different. You're dancing to a different beat, a different sound. You hear a different sound. You don't hear the same sound. Oh, you're going to have problems. You're going to have problems if you're not on the same page. You have to be on the same page. You both have to be saved. You know, you both have to agree. You have to agree. Now, there's some things that you may not agree with, like little mild stuff. For an example, he may like toast. You may not like toast. He may like toast a little burnt, with some jelly on it. You may like your toast, your bread toast light with some peanut butter or butter on it. You know, little things like that. Or he may like cereal for breakfast and you may like scrambled eggs. And that's nothing to argue and break up over. Just eat what you eat. You eat scrambled eggs with bacon and he eats burnt toast with jelly on it. Simple. You know, that's simple. That's nothing to argue over. And, you know, ladies, let me say this to ladies. You know, I'm a lady. I'm a woman. I've been there and done this. You know, stop trying to make that man eat what you want him to eat. Now, if he's eating unhealthy, now that's a whole different story. But I'm talking about, you know, if he wants cereal for breakfast and then if you want scrambled eggs and eggs, okay, let him eat his cereal. Long as he's not eating a whole bunch of sugar, you know, long as he's eating healthy and she's eating healthy, let them eat what they like, what they have a taste for. You know, let them keep a part of who they are. Sometimes we try to change each other to the degree we take away who they are. You know, we take away who they are as an individual, and then that person becomes unhappy. So, you know, if he likes red and you like blue, okay. You know, don't try to make him change the color of red and want to wear blue all the time. Compromise. There is a magic word in relationship called compromise. Compromise with each other. Say, well, if you wear blue, wear red this week. Okay, let's wear blue with me next week. You know, dress alike. Those are just little simple things that should not be difficult and fight over and argue. Oh, that's trivial. That's trivial. Come on, let's learn to compromise in marriage. Now, of course, I didn't know all this when I got married when I was a teenager, but now at 61 years old, I have learned a whole lot and grown up and mature. So, you know, praise the Lord. But you have to be on the same page. You got to be on the same page when it comes to major things, you know, things that really matter to you, things that, you know, that will, you know, praying, you know, you know, you're praying together and believe in praying, going to the house of worship, you know, things that really matter. How are you going to handle the bills? Who's going to handle the money? Those are major things. You have to be on the same page with him. If he agrees for you to handle the money and if you're a good steward over the finances and you know how to save and maneuver the money around and budget and whatever it is you need to do to keep all the bills paid and you can handle that without any problems and he's okay with it, then that puts you all on the same page. You know, so you know, you have to be in agreement on the same page. My God, that way the marriage will flow. It will be still a challenge, but not difficult. It won't be hard if you're on the same page. You love Jesus, he loved Jesus. Now, if you marry somebody and he's an atheist and you love Jesus or he don't want to go to the work, to the house of worship and you do, oh, you're going to have a problem. You all are not on the same page. So come on. Let's, if you have a man that doesn't communicate well, you know, some of these things that should be the things that you should have already figured out before you walked into marriage. You know, because I've been there and done that. I'm telling you, I've learned some big lessons, and I have learned from them, and I'm continuing to learn from them. That's why it's good to communicate and talk. Matter of fact, that's where I'm going to go right now. I'm going to go to about communicating. I'm going to go down to my book. And communication is very important in a relationship. Communication. I'm skipping over some things. Communication. This is in my book. I have communication here. Communication between the opposite sex can be difficult at times. Communication is a valid key that must be used on a regular basis. It is your life raft, your water intake to keep your relationship alive and well hydrated. That's good right there. My. I think I'll buy this book for myself. Oh, that's good. It's the key that opens the door for clarity. Did you all hear that? Communication is the key that opens the door for clarity. It allows intimacy to be established. A relationship without communication is like a fish out of water. The longer the fish is kept out of water, it suffocates from the lack of oxygen that it needs to live. And without the necessity of water, it dies. Communication is as the same. Communication is your oxygen intake. It gives your relationship the air it needs to breathe and stay alive and bloom. Boy, that's a good book right there. That's good. My. Communication is the key one needs to use in their relationship in order to maintain a level of balance. That's good right there. I'm going to say that again. Communication is the key one needs to use in their relationship in order to maintain a level of balance. And if you're going to maintain a level of balance in your communication, whether you are engaged or whether you are already married, you must use the key of communication to maintain a balance in your relationship. Understanding is everything. I am a believer of getting understanding. And all thy getting, get good understanding. Get a good understanding of what your partner is saying. Understand if it takes 30 minutes to question one specific thing, get the understanding of what they're saying and where they're coming from. Sometimes you have to find out how they're thinking and why they're thinking the way they're thinking. Sometimes you have to question, why is this person thinking this way? Why do they think this way? And sometimes that why may take you back to childhood in that person's life. Reason why they think the way they think. It may take you back, but it'll help you to understand why they think the way they think. And then you can understand how to deal with that and change that thinking. We have to change our thinking. Oh, my God, this is just, we have to change our thinking. It's our thinking process, our pattern of our mindset that we must change sometime. So this can get really deep. My goodness, this can get really deep. If you need someone, you need me to come and do a workshop or a conference workshop on relationship, all of my information is in my book. I tell you, let's continue on. So communication is very much needed. Communication fuels your relationship with what it needs to maintain the flame. Woo! You know, this book gets pretty deep, so I'm not going to read the hot stuff. It got some hot stuff in it, so I'm not going to read the hot stuff. It's the key that opens the door for understanding and erases any misunderstanding and doubt. Now, let me put myself on pause here. Now, just in case somebody may be saying, well, Apostle, what if my husband doesn't want to talk? Because I hear a lot of women say that to me. They ask and say, well, my husband don't want to talk. He's not a communicator. You know, he doesn't talk. Well, you're gonna have a problem if you don't figure out how to get him to talk. Communicate. You have to find a way of communicating to each other. And there are many forms of communication, many forms of communication. So you have to find out what will feed your husband or your wife. You may have some women that don't communicate. It's not too many women that won't communicate. Mostly you find men that don't. Not every man, and there are some men that you have no problem communicating with. But when you find a man that you have trouble communicating with, that's an introvert. He's an introvert. Because sometimes we men, and see, and that's what counseling is good for. Because you need to know the type of man and woman that you're man. There are most men, not all men, most men are introverted. And most men that are introverted, they're closed in. That means they're closed in. So you as a woman must ask God to give you the wisdom and the know-how how to open your husband up to communication, because you need his communication. Your relationship will die, it will strain if you don't communicate. Find a way to communicate. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who's going to listen to this broadcast after it goes on. But find a way to get him to communicate. if it's running bath water, putting bubbles in it, if it's fixing his main dinner, you know, with candlelight, soft music, and don't, listen, we know we saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, speaking tongues and all that good stuff. But listen, don't put on no song at the cross. That's not the time to put that type of song on, or I know it was the blood. That's not the time to put that kind of CD on. You want to put some love music on, some soft candles. If that's what it takes to relax him enough to get him to communicate to you, then if that's what it takes, then do that. You know, if it takes fixing his special dinner, if it takes taking the man's shoes off, you know, baby, let me give you a back rub, a neck rub, whatever it takes to communicate. Because even ministering to your husband or your wife, you know, running the bath water, playing the right music, fixing their favorite dinner, just you know, what, that's a part of communication. You're communicating in an intimate way. It's a silent communication, but you're communicating in action. And then you can verbally communicate, bringing him or her to a place where they're relaxed, where they're calm, and where they will begin to open up. And then you begin to carefully, notice I use this word, carefully begin to ask questions or present questions. Sometimes women, they'll ask a question in a way that will threaten that man or intimidate that man, and he shuts down. So you have to use wisdom with the man, with your man. You have to know him, dwell with him according to knowledge. Know what makes him tick. Know what turns him on. Know how to open that door in his soul to get him to communicate. Women, let me talk to the women. Women, you have been empowered with the power of influence. Work your influence to your advantage. Now, don't let your husband hear this part. Well, I'm giving you a little secret. Work your influence to your advantage. You know, if you got to use that soft voice, that baby, but whatever it takes to get him to communicate and talk, you want to open him up. So those are just some nuggets that's free on the house. You know, I hope you're writing them down, or you can go back and listen to this broadcast, and you can glean from it. Okay, let's move along. I have 17 more minutes. I knew I wasn't going to get through this whole, because I had some other little nuggets. That's okay. We'll be back next week, and I'll come from this book, just a few more nuggets out of it. Let's see, communication. Let me see, where am I at? Communication is the key one needs to use in their relationship in order to maintain a level of balance. Communication fuels your relationship with what it needs to maintain the flame. You want to keep the flame burning in your relationship. And this is for married, and if you're getting married, you're engaged, this is something you can glean from. Keep the communication going. It's the key that opens the door for understanding and erases any misunderstanding and doubts. You want to erase all misunderstandings and doubts in your partner's mind. Without communication, it is like neglecting a beautiful flower of its water intake, watching it slowly die up and watching it slowly dry up and die. Communication opens the door of the mind. See this? See here? It opens the door of the minds to meet together. It will pave the way for you to understand how each other thinks. Learning to think like her and learning to think like him. Ooh, that's really, really good right there. My. This is a good author right here. This is a good book. So you got to purchase this for a Christmas gift. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to read that again because I want you to get that. I'm going to read that last little part. It says, without communication, it is like neglecting the beautiful flower, neglecting a beautiful flower of its water intake. Can you pause right there just for a second? When you don't water those flowers, it's going to dry up, right? It's going to dry up. And you're going to watch it dry up because you're not giving it the nutrition that it needs. It draws that nutrition from that water. Just like relationship, it needs the nutrition of communication. Whew, that's good right there. That's good. I tell you, I don't know what's in me until I open my mouth and the Holy Ghost just pours it down in me. That's good, Lord. Okay, watching it slowly dry up and die. Communication opens the door of the minds to meet together. You want your minds to meet together. This is good right here. The meeting of the minds. Oh, my God, as a husband and as a wife and even those that are engaged, you need the meeting of the minds. You need your minds to come together and meet together. It will pave the way for you to understand how each other thinks. It is important to know how each other thinks. Or we can get the men to really get this more so. You know, even the women too. I can't leave the women out. But men really know how to need to learn how to know how a woman thinks. In fact, we really need to know how they think too. Because to us, they think weird, and we think weird to them. So we need the meeting of the mind so we can learn how each other think. Thinking like her and learning to think like him. Woo, that's some hot, that's some good stuff. I think I'll give my own self an offering behind that. That's so good. That is so good. I tell you, I'm blessed by the Lord. I get tickled when God blesses me with things. It's just, I'm just excited. Okay, we have 13 more minutes on the air. I'm going to next Wednesday we'll have more time on the radio broadcast where I can open it up for questions and inputs. I only did it a short time for tonight because I knew it was Thanksgiving, and I knew many of you probably want to go back to your, you know, whatever it is you're doing for Thanksgiving, night cooking and all that good stuff. Here's another nugget real quick. I have time to give this nugget. It says forgiveness is a much needed key. Forgiveness is a much needed key, a master key which should be used quickly. Holding on to hurtful memories of the past. Okay, we're talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness, and this here also is very important in relationship. This is one of the things that cause a relationship to be difficult and hard when there is unforgiveness in it. You can't have unforgiveness in a relationship. You have to forgive. So forgiveness is a much needed key, a master key which should be used quickly. Quickly forgive. Use that master key of forgiveness quickly. Holding on to hurtful memories of the past, offense, misunderstanding, and any abusive treatment will clog up and constipate one's relationship and soul. Woo, that's powerful. Let me read that again. Forgiveness is a much needed key in any relationship. I don't care what type of relationship it is. Forgiveness, if it's a sister relationship, a mother, daughter, father, son, sister and brother, husband and wife, it is key. Forgiveness is a much-needed key, a master key which should be used quickly. Holding on to hurtful memories of the past, offense, misunderstanding, and any abusive treatment will clog up and constipate one's relationship and soul. Wow. You got to get this book to get the whole, to read the whole book. Without forgiveness, the relationship and soul become paralyzed. Woo, Jesus. So one must not allow the spirit of pride to keep them from giving and accepting forgiveness. You know, pride is a silent spirit in a relationship. Most of the times we don't even realize it's pride that is there. When we say, well, I've already forgiven, I've already did this right, I already did what I was supposed to do, and then the other person hasn't done what they're supposed to do, and vice versa. Most of the time, it's the blame, the point, and that's the Adam syndrome. I call it the Adam and the Eve syndrome in the garden. You know, when Jesus came in the garden and didn't find Adam and Eve in their position where he left them, and because, you know, they were disobedient, and God began to call Adam and ask him, Adam, what in the world did you do? What is this that you do, Adam? And Adam said, it's that woman you gave me. And then the woman want to blame the devil. So everybody want to blame everybody. No one wants to take responsibility of their own and say, no, I had a part in it too. No, I did this part and it was wrong. Forgive me. I know this part was wrong. I did this. But everybody want to play the Adam syndrome. They want that Adam syndrome game. No, it's the woman you gave me. That's what happened. No, it wasn't the woman. It was you, Adam, because you did not walk. You did not hold up the order of God in your house. And when a man doesn't hold up the order of God in his house, he's going to have confusion in his house. There won't be any peace in his house if he doesn't hold up the order of God in his house. You have to be on the same page. Oh, my God, this is so good. We had 9 more minutes. Listen, let me finish this little last piece out. This is so good. Okay, so one must not allow the spirit of pride to keep them from giving and expecting forgiveness, accepting forgiveness. Forgive each other quickly, letting go what caused unforgiveness in the first place. Remember, forgiving others doesn't mean they deserve it. Forgiveness means you deserve peace. When you forgive, the other person may not forgive you. They may not receive your forgiveness or accept it. But when you forgive, it means you let it go. It doesn't keep you in that place. When you hold on to unforgiveness, it keeps you in that place of resentment, of hurt, of pain. It locks you in that place that you shouldn't really be in. But when you forgive, it releases you and sets you free from that place of pain and hurt. And it frees you to go on where you need to go. Ooh, this here is Relationship Menu Book, and it is so good. Okay, I have a few more minutes. I've just got 8 more minutes. I want to kind of give as much as I can. So some of this, if you're married, you can glean from it. If you're single, you're engaged, you can glean from this as well. Married ladies, this is for married ladies here. This is appetizers. It says, married ladies, build your home with your hands rather than tearing it down with your mouth. Ooh, now that's a whole sermon I can preach right there. Never marry. You know, sometimes women, we as women need to learn how to be silent or to close our mouth at times. Because whether you realize it or not, a man can't take all of that pressure. Men can't take pressure like women can. Men can't take it. You're driving them in the cave. And that's in my other book, Red Flag, where I talk about how a man will go into his cave and hide until he thinks it's safe to come out. Because if he's in a house with a woman and she's constantly pushing them and nagging. You know, they use the word nagging, but it's frustration to us. But we're constantly telling them, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need to stop doing this. That's driving that man into his cave, and he shuts down on you. His ears are closed. He doesn't hear one thing. And then that little boy in him runs into the cave, and he stays in there, and he hides in that emotional cave. And he doesn't come out until he thinks it's safe to come out. So women really have to use wisdom with a man. Never marry a person who is too full of themselves, for there will be no room for you in their lives. See, these are things that we should know before we enter into marriage. This could be for someone who's engaged. If it's a red flag when the question you ask is being avoided. When you ask that partner, woman or husband, you're asking them questions and they're avoiding the answers to it, that's a red flag. That's a sign of a red flag. If you're constantly asking them a question, and let me say this to women, I have to speak to the women, because we can sometimes be a little pushy and overbearing. You know, we don't want to say that's what we are, but we are. We can sometimes be a little pushy and a little overbearing with a man. Men cannot handle that. You have to know how to handle that man in a different way. They can't handle all of that we can handle. We can handle that because we actually, God made us to bear children, so we can bear the pain and the difficulty and the hard stuff. But men can't handle stuff like that. They can't handle, even though God made them the stronger vessel, they're not emotionally strong and tough like women are. So they can't handle all that. So if you're needing to get a question from him, you have to use strategy and wisdom. You can't keep asking them the same thing over and over and over and over. That's going to make them shut down on you. So you got to use wisdom with them. Oh, my God, this is so good. I'm loving this. I'm loving this. I'm loving this. I have 5 more minutes. We're going to be back next Wednesday. We're going to come back next Wednesday on Relationship Wednesday, where I believe I will just do maybe just a few more little inserts out of my book. And once again, you can email me, you can inbox me if you desire to purchase this book. This book will definitely help you if you want to be helped. It'll give you so much insight. I talk about sex is powerful. I talk about how powerful sex is in a marriage. And I have some real hot sizzling things in my book for married couples, and I have some really good stuff in here for single people. And this is for people that are engaged and you're going to be married, you want to be married. Listen, make sure you're marrying a person with sound character. You know, many times we women, I have to go back to we women because I've been there and done that. We have to make sure that we're marrying a person with sound integrity and character. Because if we're marrying a man and expecting him to be a man when he is really a boy, and you marry that man thinking he's going to be a man, and then after you marry him, then the little boy comes out, the lack of responsibility, then you got a situation going on. Because we did not ask questions. We did not wait to get that counseling. You know? We just jumped into something, and then you end up with a man who doesn't know how to handle man responsibilities, and he's acting like a boy. That's going to frustrate a woman big time. That's going to be real frustration. So marry a man with godly character. Marry a man who loves God with all of his heart. I know sometimes we marry sometimes you have two unsaved, because I was unsaved and I married a man. He wasn't saved, I wasn't saved. Then I got saved, but then he didn't want to be saved, like, because I was saved for real. You know, I dive into sanctification and being saved, but he didn't want to be saved like I was being saved. So, you know, when you're in sin in the world, you don't know no better because you didn't get the teaching or no one gave you that wisdom. You didn't have maybe a wise mother, someone, and you listen. And sometimes we have that wisdom in our life, but we don't listen to them, and we go on with our feelings. And then we end up messing up and marrying somebody that, you know, that after a while we realize I made a big mistake. And it's easy to tie a knot than it is to untie it. I'm going to say that again. It's easy to tie a knot than it is to untie a knot. And when you tie the knot of that marriage, it's not as easy to tie that knot, but it's not as easy to untie that knot when you realize you shouldn't have never tied the knot in the first place. Woo, that's good. Oh, my God, oh, my God. But listen, we have 2 more minutes. I know I won't be able to just go through the rest of the little nuggets of the book. But if you want to buy this book, the book is not expensive. You can buy this book and glean from it. It's going to really help those that are married. It's really going to help those that are single, wants to be engaged. I have a book for men. It's called Adam Formed from the Dust of the Ground, and you can purchase that book. Just inbox me or email me. If you're on Facebook, get a hold of me, and I can tell you how to purchase the book, how much the book costs, shipping and handling. But, Father, we thank you. We have 1 more minute and 40 seconds on, so we just thank God for those that are listening in tonight. We pray that you have gleaned and just got you some nuggets and maybe have given you some understanding on, what you mean. So, Father, we thank you tonight, and we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for tonight, for this wisdom that you have released. And, Father, I pray for every relationship. I pray for every husband and wife that might be listening to this broadcast and listen to after it has gone off, that you begin to mend and heal and release understanding and give a new insight, a fresh start, perhaps that this is what they desire, that you will put them on the same page, Father, and you strengthen and bless them, and bless those singles to wait and to hear God and to get counseling before they get married, and give them the right person for their life, that one that is fitted for their life. in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless this Thanksgiving holiday. We bless those that are on the road and traveling. We bless those that are preparing to gather together with their family, that you will release the peace of God, the goodness of God in their life for the holiday, that they be safe. In Jesus' name, amen. So we thank God for you on tonight. We're going to see you next Wednesday on Relationship Wednesday. I'm starting off with Shalom. God bless you. Shalom. Thank you.